music and there's no one there. Smell blossoms and the trees are bare. All night long I'm walking on air. I wonder why.
Hello, everybody. From Hollywood, California, the Meltdown Comics, the Nerdist Theater, Harmontown is now in session. Please. Oh, my God. Tonight's attendance, 40,000 people. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. What a crowd. I don't know. What is it? Should
Again,
we ask
them? There's a million people
What's
here.
What's going on? Is there a convention?
I think it's the World Cup. They have World Cup fever.
World Cup fever. They heard my World Cup coverage, and they're like, okay, well, I'm sure it's unrelated, but... I was just getting some statistics. Some people like to celebrate this stuff. I got into podcasting to forget about numbers. I'm fleeing a world too obsessed with ratings and things. I come here to not pay attention to these things. However, Harmontown, about when we went out on tour, I don't know, we used to get like 60,000 to 80,000 downloads per episode. Now we're up to like 100,000 per episode. And we just had a million total when we went on that tour where we made that movie that no one ever gets to see. And now we just passed, I was told in the green room, 10 million downloads total. But I'm sure a lot of people download them multiple times.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what you kids do. This is for freezies. We don't care. We don't care about no numbers.
I want to talk more
for one
about
person.
My giant new podium here. This is really exciting.
Yeah, just got a new podium.
I have it looks like a 56 Buick. It's really
it's got
really
a big light on the front.
Yeah.
With a logo we'll have to swap out for our own. Yeah, it's pretty great.
I like this.
All right. So, what are we going to talk about? I just started doing couples therapy. It's kind of—it's more like marriage, pre-marriage counseling.
You and Rob? Yeah. It's a long time coming.
No, Aaron and I are—you know—we want to make sure the ship's all airtight before we take it out to the sea.
Am I right in recalling that she called it engagement camp?
Yeah, well, that the counselor offers a 6-week program that she calls marriage camp or something like that.
Really?
But after our consultation, she's like, I don't know, you know, maybe you guys should do this for a long time. not so much a camp as like a condo.
Yeah, let's teepee more of an asylum. How many have you been to?
Just one. There was one consultation, and then we just had our first one on Friday.
Tell me, I'm very curious about that.
Like, it's pretty great. Like I think the most important thing is to have language, because as we all know, relationships like the big obstacle for them is that they're competing in their most crucial phases with something that's you can't compete with, which is the courtship phase, where there's hormones, like chemicals pumping through your body, looking at this person across the room. You know, the whole high fidelity monologue with John Cusack. It's like you know, when your lover is a stranger to you, and you just love drinking a big glass of water of how you look in their eyes, and everything is fantastic. It's like then you seal a deal, and that's when the really rewarding stuff starts to happen, like a 30-year life together, for instance. But at the same time, the big problem with that is that you know, you can sometimes feel like well, it's like, well, now I don't now I'm not on fire all the time. Like now you know what a shitty person I am. Now we fight sometimes, and then the person I had that fight with is still there. You know, and it's not like you get in a fight and you're like, I don't want to see you anymore. It's like we got in a fight. Now I'm gonna keep seeing you forever because I love you. But we had like 8 fights, and so I think the coolest thing is that combats that phenomenon is this shared language. I think that's when artifice really comes in handy. Like it's like you get tools, you get told, like, okay, this is a phrase we use for this thing, so that you both know that phrase, so that you're not just on autopilot, and when you start to get into a fight or something, you actually have a thing that you can talk about, say, go like, oh, is this a scenario 7, you know, kind of thing. And my big thing was that my epiphany has been this thing that the counselor called emotional bids, Jeff.
Bids.
Yeah. So, you know, when there's two people in a conversation, my thing has always been, well, one person's always going to need something, and then the other person's always going to be having to give it, which means that one person's getting, like, robbed. You know, like, I always feel like everyone's trying to steal my life force away from me, my time, my energy. Like fish hooks are coming at me, and they're going to get into me, and if I don't fend them off and police my own space, I'm going to get dragged into someone else's, like, energy, and I'm going to get dragged down, and I'm going to lose my life for 3 hours of playing Borderlands 2 or something. The counselor said, here's the thing that couples do. They make emotional bids. So you say, like, for instance, one of my big things that makes me insane is that if I'm driving and Aaron says, look at that thing over there, my immediate emotional reaction is to go, God damn it, I don't want to look at shit. So, you know, like, I always hate it.
That's
when,
fair.
I hate it when people... That's my extreme example of, like, that's how extreme it is with me. Like, I hate fucking, like, I hate when people go, like, look at that. Like, I'm thinking, I hate you. Don't make me look at, I have my own head. I can swivel it. I have eyes. If I want to look at something, I'll look at it. Like, that's me being crazy. But that's just an example of, like, somebody saying, look at that. Or somebody saying, like, oh, Game of Thrones is on tomorrow. Like anything, any sound you make, anything, it's an emotional bid. My new way of seeing it that the counselor
wait,
why
presented
is it,
to why me, is it a bid? Explain that.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to. Don't interrupt me.
Look,
Dan.
Look over here.
No.
Look over here.
You have to think of the relationship as a third thing in the room with you and your lover. When a person wants something from you, don't even look at it that way. You think of it as them putting a little poker chip, a bid, into the relationship bank. You know, so you don't have to think about it like, I have to give you something or you need something. It's like, it's you putting something in to this third thing. And then you can have three responses to that, one of three. You can do what's called facing forward, which is like acknowledging it, which is a form of putting your own bid in there to match it. And both parties are going to draw checks on this bank from time to time. You need your relationship to be there when you're feeling bummed out. Sometimes you're sick or you're in a bad mood. You feel fat. You want to. You go like, oh, can I fall back on this relationship, you know? And if it's overdrawn, if there's no trust, if it's like somebody puts a bid in it, and then if you go like, but for example, by saying like, oh, our favorite show's on tonight, if you go, yeah, like that's you taking the bid out, like wiping your ass with it. I don't know where the metaphor goes, but like you're not matching it. And then what happens is, and this happens a lot with men and women, is that like, because men have this thing where they're just like, they think too logically in their discourse. So it's like, look at that thing. Isn't that pretty? And then the guy will tend too often to go like, I don't see how that's more pretty than anything else in particular. Like trying to make sure, because I think we're socialized, at least American men are socialized to like be more logical, not change our minds and all this stuff. And then like, so that's like an example of you betray the trust, and then like the other person will double down on the bid. They start putting more shit in there, and then they get all messed up, and like they go like, I do everything and you don't do anything, and it's like it comes out at random times like, I could put so much shit into this relationship and all that stuff. All you got to do is just like retrain your brain, even if it's perfunctory, because they've done these studies where they take like, they finally started taking like couples science into like Like, they just study us like animals now. And they just take, like, people who are happy as couples, and they just study their behavior, and they've found that if you can make bad couples emulate good couples' behavior, the bad couples can turn into good couples. They get happy.
So what is the good behavior?
The good behavior is that is just that rhythm of matching emotional bids. Like if someone petitions the relationship for acknowledgement, then you gotta ring that bell too. You just once. That's it. Hey, look at that bridge. Oh, yeah, that's a great bridge. Like, without being sarcastic. You know, you don't have to agree that it's a great bridge, but you also don't be a shithead. Like, just say, yeah, it's a great bridge. Like, just stop. You know, face forward. Literally, physically face the person that wants your attention, and engage them for just as much time as they said. Oh, Game of Thrones is on tomorrow. Yeah, isn't that show great? Like, just fucking match it. Don't.
I want to talk about this. Look over there thing and look at the bridge thing. Like, are you making that up, or is it an actual thing? If Aaron says, hey, look, that restaurant's closed, and you might have a bad reaction to her just saying, look at that thing.
Yes. Yes.
Really?
I can't handle I don't multitask. So if no one ever knows when I'm thinking about something that I could just be standing or doing nothing, and what you don't know is that I'm actually engaged in something mentally.
Right.
And then somebody goes like you like hot dogs? Like if I was literally not thinking about anything, if I was just going like, I hope someone talks to me, and someone goes, you like hot dogs? I'll go like, oh, I like all kinds of them. I like footlongs, and I like mustard, and that person's like, God, I'm so glad I came over and talked to Dan Harmon. But if I... Here I am. I'm learning about hot dogs. I thought I knew about them. He knows more. And then we're like, you know, cut to us, like, just arm in arm, like at a hot dog store of some kind. But if I'm standing there and I happen to be like running some kind of like program, like I'm going like, ah, oh, I've got just thinking about something, like running through a conversation in my head, or, you know, creating my next masterpiece, of course. You guys didn't laugh hard enough at that. Now I feel like a shithead.
Didn't sound like a joke.
Sounded like an emotional bid. So...
Yeah. And then you like hot dogs. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like mad. Like shaking you off like you're a mosquito. What? What are you asking me? Because I don't even hear it the first time. I just hear like noise. Like, hot dogs? And I'm like, what? What do you want? I'll just ask if you like hot dogs. Okay. Yeah, I like hot dogs. Jesus Christ. You know, like kind of like...
creating a masterpiece in my mind right now.
So that may or may not ever change about me, but what can change about me is I can go from not valuing the relationship enough to take action to valuing the relationship enough to take action. So if it's like, it's not about me. That was my big fear about couples therapy. It's like, oh, they're going to pop the hood open on me. I know it's not her that's going to have to change a bunch of shit for us to be happy. There's going to be fucking blue wires and red wires going to be cut, and one of them's going to blow up. And but it's not that, it's not really that case. It's like, it's for better or for worse. It kind of like the couples therapy perspective is, if you're fucked up, you're fucked up. But how do you make a relationship work with a fucked up person? And the fucked up person, like, what? While you're fucked up, here's some things you can do to make your relationship not fucked up.
All right.
Up.
So in that moment, now that you have that intellectual knowledge of like the emotional bids thing, now when you're in your own, because I'm also the same way, and I think probably most of us are, like I get lost in my own thoughts, and when someone interrupts them, I have no idea what's going on. Like I'm kind of listening, but I'm kind of also caught up in my own shit. Now if Aaron says, look at that bridge, or do you like hot dogs, you're still going to probably react in that first moment of...
No, emotionally, yes. Like, I won't be able to stop myself from, like the counselor says, it's like when you hit your knee with a hammer, it's just a reflex. Reflexes are reflexes, but you have an internal reflexive reaction. But that can be a dinner bell. Like that can be like a triangle that rings that is a reminder. Oh, this is that moment where I do that thing where I stop, face her, and acknowledge what she just said. and then go back to, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's just, right, it's so, literally just changing your behavior.
So you're lost in thought. You're creating a masterpiece. Someone says, "Do you like hot dogs?" You hear what?
So in my head, I go, "What the fuck? What does he want? Shut up!" And then I turn. I say, "Did you say, do I like hot dogs?"
Yes, I did.
I do.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad I talked to Dan Harmon.
And you know what, sir? I was just thinking about my next masterpiece, so I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to go back to that. That's my emotional bid. Now he can either honor that or not. He can be like, "Fuck off! You get your head out of your ass, you fucking fuck." I'm like, "All right, whatever." But yeah, it's like that's another form of an emotional pit. Just be honest about whether or not you want to hang out or need space.
How do you know when I guess the metaphor for the bid thing is that you can keep anteing and someone can keep just taking the money off the table and not put anything back in.
That's every guy's first question. Is what if you keep matching emotional bids and you keep having to look at 20 bridges per second? It was my first question, and then I went to the Rick and Morty writers' room, and I was so excited about these tools I had learned. And every guy was like, immediately was like, "What if? But what if you look at the bridge and then say a nice bridge, and then you got to do it again 5 seconds later?" That what if? What if the other person abuses me doing the normal right thing is called mistrust, and and trust is the foundation of a relationship. So you can change anything you want about a house, but if you don't have trust in a relationship, it just doesn't matter. It's just like a fucked up house. So you just have to fucking jump in. Like you just have to do the science. You're not gonna have to look at 20 bridges. There aren't 20 bridges. She really just wants. It's like breathing. It's respiration. Look at the bridge. It's nice. It's just like am I in a relationship with you on just a microscopic little penny stock level? Like just a little micro trade. Like that keeps the fucking market going. Look at that bridge. Yeah, okay, I see that bridge. Yes, I am in the space with you. I am not numb. I am not like astral projecting over Miami right now.
What is your stance on bridges? Like, do you like a bridge?
I don't ever need to look at them. I think that people put them there because there was something that needed to be ignored. Like a ravine. Look at that ravine. People were saying, "Look at that ravine," and they're like, "Yeah, we got to put a bridge over that thing." Now, 20 years later, there's a bridge on that. It's like how, like, I don't have to worry about the teeth fillings. It filled the teeth. I just gotta eat the corn. I'm living my life. I don't want to look at my teeth.
What about the Brooklyn Bridge or the San Francisco Golden Gate?
It's just a big dumb thing that I don't
what?
Care. It's just a big dumb thing, Jeff. It's a bridge. Who cares?
7 people died in the construction of
they
that.
Should, they were probably looking at the fucking bridge too much. They were like, "Oh, look at this bridge I'm building." No, look at your work.
They died when there was no bridge. They died when it was still a river.
So good. It's good they built the bridge. Thank you for dying. I don't want to look at the bridge.
Why not?
Because it's a bridge. I see it on a postcard. It's everywhere. It doesn't matter. I see it on TV.
Do you like buildings? Do you like to see a skyscraper?
No, I don't like architecture. I think it's all dumb. I don't like.
Okay,
I
think that's what we're learning right now is that you just like there's certain things that some people find fascinating that you
yeah.
just disregard.
Yeah.
Do you like nature? Like you say, look at that sunset. Look at that. Look
barely,
at that mountain. Look at that.
Barely. Nature gets this much from me. I when we were at, you know, if I'm in a new climate, like when we went to Banff, the city so nice they removed its vowels. It was like in the middle of a national park.
So nice they effed it twice.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
That did deserve applause.
It deserved exactly that much.
It didn't deserve a standing ovation. It deserved a nice, polite bit of applause.
It was like a parlor trick you did there. It was like if you'd made a ping pong ball come out of my nose. It deserved that much applause. Yeah, if it's breathtaking, you know, it's like, wow, look at that. That looks like the Shining. That looks like what you. It looks like that movie I like.
Right.
You know.
But you can't
look at all those trees. There's so many trees.
You're never just driving on the road or just stop and go, oh my God, it's fucking beautiful out right now.
I tried to do that once on a. I took a road trip by myself.
Were you hurt during the process?
And I remember, like, I was like, I'm just going to drive and I'm going to, like, look at nature.
Was this your vision quest?
Vision quest where I ended up just eating at different Sizzlers across the country. Because I don't know what I'm doing. And I was like, I'm just going to get out there and just like throw a blade of grass in the air, and whichever way it points, I'm going to drive that way. And, you know, I'm going to meet Reese Witherspoon and she's going to guide me on a thing or make a mixtape for me, and I'm going to get cancer and then recover. All the Shins are going to be playing, and I'm going to be like finding shit. It's going to be me and just silhouetted against the sun on a cliff edge going, ah! It's just different hotels, people going, do you have a reservation? No. Well, what were you thinking? I'm on a vision quest. In Denver? I didn't know I was going to end up here. Ooh la la. You're in the asshole suite. There's coffee in the morning. Do you not want us to tell you that? Chief... Chief Vision Quest. No, I want to know there's coffee. I was like, I'm just gonna drive. I'm gonna take this back road. And then the sun was setting over this field, and I was like, I bet that's the kind of thing that people call beautiful. And I'm going to.
You mean human beings?
I'm gonna get out of the car and enjoy it like in a movie. Right. And I pulled my car over. It was like perfectly quiet and beautiful, and I got out of the car, stepped out of the car, and I was just like into a cloud of gnats. and I like ran 5 feet down the road. I was like, Jesus Christ, gnat cloud, and the gnats like followed me. Like imagine that cloud of gnats. Like they're like, do they like heads? Like wait. What? I don't understand gnat clouds. Like, are they waiting for a head? And then when one comes to them, they're stoked.
I think that you perceive a gnat cloud because your head is in a bunch of gnats. I think there's also gnats over there too. You could stick your head.
No, but they're in clouds. Gnats. There's like a cloud. Such a thing as a cloud of gnats. It's an isolated, localized phenomenon. There's they cluster. They like each other. I don't know if that's just them reproducing or you're talking, sharing notes on gnat. And then your head goes in it, but it seems like once your head goes in it, they're like, there's a head! And then, like, you move your head and they, like, move with you because they're like, it's a head! That's like, it's our new religion! We love this guy's head!
Zardoz is here!
Because they love to go in your nose and your ears and, like they're little grottos, like gnats are, like, hooking up in your mouth. Anyways, I got back in the car and I never got out of it again. And I'm still happy. I'm still creating masterpieces.
But are you saying that you don't generally or frequently or sometimes once in a while have like look around and go, oh shit, like that's
like
I want to.
Yeah, no. So I like weather. Like I go like, oh, it's such a beautiful night. Like when it's really nice. Yeah. You know, like
there you go.
Yeah, I like that. Tactile, like things. Like, oh, what a nice feeling night. Like a little salty blanket around me.
A salty blanket?
Do you want me to give you a salty blanket?
Is that where you jizz on my head or something like that?
It's a little, just to call it out like that. And also, hey, listen to this. So listen to the sound my throat makes when I laugh now. Wait, you have to listen for the
it sounds like rheumatism?
A card in bicycle spokes.
What on earth?
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's what I asked the doctor.
That's not good.
I went to a eyes, nose, and throat guy.
What is that about?
Well, I don't know.
I want a fucking answer. I don't want to live in a world where there's no answer for that.
Well, he put a camera. First, he numbed my nose. He put by shoving a wad of cotton up my nose, and then he gave me 5 minutes. I'll give you 5 minutes. That'll numb your nose. You'll thank me. Ha ha ha. And then he came back and like, what do they do when they leave for 5 minutes? Is that just doctors fucking suck. They're the worst. They're terrible.
He's not going to hang out for the 5 minutes that you're going to get numb. He's going to go do a thing. Answer an email.
Well,
play some Candy Crush.
He played Candy. I think he wasn't plays Candy Crush. So he comes back, and then he takes this camera, which is like, it's like a spaghetti noodle, like a black spaghetti noodle. And he just inserts it into my nasal passage, and I can feel it. He says this won't hurt, but it will tickle. And he was right, but it will hurt psychologically to know a thing is invading your fucking passages. It didn't physically hurt, but it broke my mind. It made me feel small and like an animal. It made me feel like a small animal. Like a ocelot at a zoo. And they're just like, he just like kept feeding it, and I could feel it going down my throat.
You're totally like, you're awake.
Yeah, I'm just hanging out. I'm sitting in a chair.
And he gave you like a local anesthetic in your nose.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's a thing going down your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, say E. I don't know if he's just trying to be different.
Say it probably opens up your...
Like, ah is...
Opens up your larynx so you're...
Well, why not ah? Is he just trying to be hip?
Yeah. I don't know. I think E sounds more... Maybe.
He's like, ah is like fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Say ah. Yeah,
this is Silver Lake, man. Say E. it wasn't Silver
Open your
Lake.
Mouth and say E.
So I said E, and then every time I said it, like, I could feel it, my fucking like nose membrane vibrating.
That's why he had you say E, because he knew that would fucking happen.
Well, he's not looking at my nose thing. That's just where the cables run down my fucking throat. Right.
But that's symptomatic.
He wants,
of a
he wants
thing
to look
happening.
At something in my throat. So he says, like, okay, there's no tumors on your vocal cords. He just fucking blurted that out. I'm like, thanks for letting me know that was a possibility. So when you heard that, you thought, let's look for that tumor. Let's find out where that tumor is, and just kept your fucking cool. That's what he should have done with that 5 minutes. Well, my nose numbed. He said, God, I'm going to take this 5 minutes to talk to you about no, fucking cancer.
No, because then your throat would tighten up and the thing wouldn't get in there. You want to be fucking loose as a goose. Yeah,
so everything's built on a lie in these buildings. It's full of these people in white coats that they have.
Take it easy, man.
There's no. I've said it before. I'll say it again. A serial killer is just a doctor without a parental support system. It's just a kid who couldn't afford medical school. They all start by looking at a cat under the crawl space and gets pulled out. They all go like, oh, that's neat. I want to see what's inside there. And then some of them end up just stalking the fucking streets of Buffalo. And then others end up charging you $60,000 to hit your knee with a hammer.
You live in a terrifying world.
It's just like these people, like, they want to open you up, and they love it. They love it, and everything's a shot with them. Like, I can't wait to put a needle in you and take out your plasma out of your body, your vital liquids. You, the seawater simulation that we evolved to carry with us to keep us alive. You know, like, when we came out of the ocean...
Are you having a stroke right now, man? I'm worried about you right now. Do it again. How do we know? I'm pretty sure that's a tumor. That's got to be a tumor. What makes that funny?
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
So dumb. Don't. Come on.
No, that does deserve applause, too.
Not more than the effed it twice.
Certainly not. Certainly not. There's different reasons to applaud.
That was some Coulier level shit. He said tumor. I can go, it's not a tumor. Anyways, not to punish you, to keep your reactions organic. I'm not going to punish you.
I'm fucking alarmed at that sound. I need to know.
There's like a dude in there. There's like an indie film being produced in there about a guy in a larynx who's like, where am I?
I can't imagine why, but a fellow's raising his hand over here. Please be a doctor.
I have tumors on my vocal cords. Not a big deal.
Oh.
I'm not sure we got that on mic. He said, I have tumors on my vocal cords. Not a big deal.
All right, cool. Well, I don't have them, so I probably have something worse. Is a tumor in your trachea a big deal?
Yes.
Okay, well, now I get to...
Do you make that sound when you do an exhale like that?
As far as I know, I don't.
No. Try it out.
The reason why I found out about it is because of all this podcastery. Like, I've been listening to myself. You can hear it in, like, Aisha Tyler's podcast. Like, you hear... I often go... And then it sounds like the mic's broken or something.
Maybe you're just purring.
Anyways, there's no discomfort or anything. It's just this sound. So right,
another hand is raised. I want this. Please all be doctors.
Do you snore too?
I snore, and I do. When I gain a certain amount of weight, I get sleep apnea. Like I'll wake up, like freaking out. Thank you for asking. These are questions the guy asked, the doctor.
So he pulls the camera out.
He pulls it out, which was so fucked up. Like it was like you know.
Does he pull it out like just anal beads and just wow?
Like anal beads, yeah. Like yeah. Yank. I'm assuming
nasal beads.
Nasal beads.
It was kind of like these people don't care about the, you know, they look at us like animals.
I'm assuming they reused that because it's got to be technology. But how do they clean that thing off? It's been done a million people.
Yeah, he just put it down, and I'll bet you $10 the next guy that came in, he probably sprays it with like a, you know, a mist of like Avion or something. He probably like runs it under a UV light or something like that some pharmaceutical company gave him for free to push pills. Here, from Razaplaz. It's a free gift. This UV light will make all the AIDS go off of your equipment. Go ahead, trust us. And don't forget Razaplaz. For every $80 Razaplaz prescription, we'll give you a golf club.
So he pulls it out. Do you have anything? Did he say, here's why you make that sound all of a sudden?
No. He said no tumors on your vocal cords, which I'm now finding out would have been the fucking jackpot.
No, it just wouldn't have been a big deal, man.
and then he said, okay, so now... Here's what we have to eliminate as a possibility. You have acid reflux. What sometimes can happen is during your sleep, some acid will splash into your trachea. Trachea will swell up a little bit, and that can make that sound. I don't know. It's like a flappy. It's like your trachea is farting when you're exhaling, like because it's a little swollen from the acid. So he gives me like advanced Prilosec, like a kind of like free samples of some kind of shit, and he gave me a shot of cortisone because I honestly think it's just because they like to hurt people. I don't. The cortisone was supposedly supposed to clear the pathways or something. They just don't feel like they've done their job unless they've inflicted some kind of torture on someone.
They take an oath, and that's the first line.
I know, but why do you think that is? If you protest too much, you know, like. So, okay, all right. I swear to God, I'm not a serial killer. If you have to say that before you go to work, like, fucking go to check it out. You know, I don't know, man.
Just paranoid.
It's called latrophobia, fear of doctors.
Look it up, man.
All right, so.
So you're good. You're all
right. Well, no, I'm not good. I'm in Schrodinger's health. Because it's not. He gave me this stuff, and it's not going away.
Jesus, it's fucking really disturbing.
So. I had to schedule an appointment
it sounds like almost like a reed, the way reed instruments make notes.
Yeah.
Like if you exhaled hard enough, you might make a nice note.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could
try, go really hard. Try it really hard.
So anyways, if it doesn't go away, which it clearly isn't, and I go to a follow-up appointment, then I got to get a CAT scan.
Yeah.
Which is, as we all know, is the thing you get before they tell you you're dying.
I was going to make a bad joke. I would have got no applause.
What if they gave me a cat? Were you going to say, what if they gave you a CAT scan and there was a cat in you?
I was going to say Schrodinger's CAT scan.
Wow.
That's
America.
Been our show. Good night, everybody.
I think, I don't know how much of that was like, they're like, let's do a bit, but.
I guarantee the people clapping all thought of that joke, too. They're applauding themselves for that one.
All right. Wait. It's like an H.P. Lovecraft. Is a pineal gland?
Are you gonna end up sounding like Tom Waits? Are you gonna get that?
I don't know, man. Well, no, because it's not on my vocal cords.
It's not.
I may end up.
Wait, so what's it on? It's in your larynx or what?
Is trachea?
Trachea.
All right. Let's bring out son of a doctor, Kumail Nanjiani.
Hello. I am a son of a doctor. It's very hard to bite my lip back there while you're going off on half my family's chosen profession.
But your dad's a shrink, right?
Yeah, they're also psychopaths. Yeah. They're like, we don't just play God with the body, we play God with the mind.
Yeah. Is he a psychiatrist or a psychologist?
Psychiatrist.
So he can, yeah, he's probably experimenting with all kinds of drugs all the time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's like sort of furthering Nazi technology. He's got like people under there that he's crossbred with monkeys and stuff like that. He's doing some new shit. I don't know. I don't think my dad has an exciting life. I don't think he's like... First of all, he is... he's a very kind, nice man. And he, I think, genuinely is affected by people being sick around him, which is not good, because that's not a good doctor. You want a doctor who's crying on the operating table. Like, oh, fuck, this. I hope I get this right. Oh, shit.
Oh, why?
Why did I choose this? I think it really is like that. I see him be affected by that. But I think he's a psychiatrist, and I don't know if he's like dealing with really interesting stuff or anything.
Yeah. Does he have like an office downtown?
No.
Downtown Pakistan?
Yeah, yeah. Pakistan, as you know, is an 8-block radius. We just got our second ice cream shop. It's very exciting. We do have 7 Starbucks, though. That's just a Starbucks
joke. Can I ask you guys a question? What do you guys make of these people in the movies and on the TV shows when someone asks them to sit and then they go, I'd rather stand? What is it with I don't get those people.
Is a very specific beef, my friend.
I was just thinking about that. You know,
I would say who tells. I'd like you to sit down for this.
Yeah,
who does that first of all? Because if someone said to you, like, look at that bridge, you'd be fuck you.
Yeah.
And someone goes, sit down. You go, fuck, now I'm standing.
But it's never like that in the movies. It's more like, you're supposed to sit because, you know, they want to tell you something you don't want to hear. And then the person's like, I'll do it standing. Like, well, what kind of conviction is that? Just sit. It's a free seat. How often do you get to sit in this life? But,
I mean, how many battles do you get to fight that you're definitely going to win? Like, that's one of them, right?
Oh, okay.
Like, this one I win.
Yeah, make me sit.
Yeah. Next time someone tells me to sit, I'm definitely going, I'd rather stand. I'm definitely. You know what I always wanted to do in my life is when someone says, are we clear? I want to say crystal. I want to do that, you know? I also want to say, like, game recognized game and, like, an ironic...
Gay recognized
no,
game?
No, game recognized game. People do that.
No,
you never heard that phrase? It's badass.
Say it again.
Game recognized game. Like, Like, oh, you're good, I'm good, and we see each other.
That's stupid.
You know? Yeah.
Wait, I don't get it. Like, we're both con artists, or?
No, like
not
like,
not a game. I mean, game.
Two great minds think alike.
Yeah, you know? Game recognized game.
That's so
dumb.
Wait, am I not being clear?
You know what?
That did not set you up for Crystal.
Yeah! Also, he doesn't recognize game, Kamel.
No,
I recognize
clunky. Clunky recognize clunky. That is hard to say. Game recognize game. That's a lot of fucking consonants and...
You guys have heard that, right?
Yeah. That's not a smooth
It's still
thing.
Really stupid. It's really...
Game recognize game.
Crystal. Well, you know why? You guys don't recognize game.
I don't think liking that saying means you have game. I think that's an absence
it
of game to
like,
say
no.
That.
Like Joshua in War Games. Like it makes you sound like a robot.
Game recognize game?
Yeah.
No, it's a conveying an idea with only three words that would take longer than three words to
but
convey.
But it's not even a real sentence. It's caveman language.
No, but you're conveying... It doesn't matter if it's a
what
real
are you
sentence.
Conveying? I still don't even understand it.
Okay, see? It's so hard.
You've got no game, man.
Yeah. If I had to explain it to you, you're not going to get it.
You got game.
You got game.
You got game.
So if you've got game and I've got game, game recognize game.
Crystal.
Also, game hate verbs. Or
yeah,
game hate.
Yeah, Tonto love recognize.
Recognize is a verb, motherfuckers.
Yeah, but it,
Jeff recognize verbs. Yeah,
game. Game hates what? A prepositional phrase. I don't know. What the fuck.
Fire kill mother.
I mean, look, I like, are we clear, Crystal, because that sounds film noir.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That, let me come up with game. Another three-word thing. Oh, vocal cord tumors. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here's one.
By the way, I think you should go to a different doctor.
I like how blasé that was. You got tumors all over your throat. It's no big deal, bro.
No big deal. Hey, I have great news. You have tumors all up in your throat. I have to go home.
Game recognized game. I may have said this on the show before, but I don't think so. I was at the airport at 10 a.m. At LAX, and one of the shitty terminals, because all LAX terminals are the worst, because it's not a good airport. I'm from LA. I'm proud of LA, but our airport is shit. And I was at there. It was like 9, 10 a.m., and the bar is rammed at 10 a.m. Like, there's a million...
It, somehow it's okay at the airport to get beer with your breakfast at 9 a.m.
No,
there's no rules. No. Fuck everything.
Airports are for drinking. Drink at an airport. It's fucking great.
Is it?
Yeah.
They have a bar. Well, in Europe, in Ireland...
You sound like a child right now. I don't know why.
Because I'm excited.
There's this bar in Ireland, in Europe?
Dan, should we be sitting down for the story?
I got a flight out of Dublin, and there's like a pub, like it was like across from the gate. Like, it was like I sat and I had a pint. And
like
I,
a child trying to describe Legoland right now.
there was this bar, and they had pints.
And they have one in Chicago. Props to Chicago, O'Hare.
Oh, entire okay. Front row.
O'Hare is the worst airport I've ever
no,
been.
No, not true. Not true.
But
no,
they have a
true.
Bar there that while overtly...
A bar in Chicago? No, I've heard everything.
At the airport. Like here's the problem with most bars now that's like in airports. Like, they've all become like these, like, fucking Flanagan Johnsons.
They have.
Open at noon.
Yeah.
Closes at 3 p.m. And then they've fucking robots on the bottles so that no one can... That infuriates me.
Oh, is
me.
That right?
You can't they can't overpour. And the bartenders, like, if you make fun of it, it's like, oh, meat, mop, mop. Is that a proper shot? Good job, Logan's Run. Like,
wait, he got upset at that?
The bartenders
game
were like,
recognized game.
They.
I'm fucking hitting three pointers all night tonight, man. You know what I'm saying? I fucking can't lose.
All right. Anyways, whatever. there's an airport bar in Chicago that's like it's goofy because it's like kind of like
is it the all brushed aluminum sports center kind of
thing? No, it's like bright white, like it's like you're in the Billie Jean video and Michael Jackson has touched all the everything.
Wow.
Okay.
Younger crowd. Yeah.
By the way, if you guys don't get it, it is a fucking spot on description. That was pretty amazing.
It's not a place that I would drink at if it was just in Los Angeles. But here's the kick. Here's the thing. No fucking kids, because it's like clearly a grown up place, and so there's not fucking families eating their mustard sandwiches with their fucking strollers going like, oh, I can't wait to get to Disney World, and it's like, I'm a fucking alcoholic, get out of here.
Yeah, this is my job. I'm like, at work right now.
It used to be part of the culture. You know, you go to the airport, and it's like, oh, it's the airport. There's no law here, booze wise. You can't be judged for drinking at 9 a.m. because it might be 3 p.m. to you. You might be from Melbourne.
That is what it is. Yeah. People think they can get away with it.
And also, you're in a like an, I was just at Chicago O'Hare, and there's like a Mexican, like there's a big food court area, and off to the side is the Mexican place. They have really good guacamole. You know this place?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was there, and it was really international. Like everybody was from somewhere.
It was like
awesome.
An internationally airport.
It was. Everybody there was from somewhere like she was from like part of Mexico. Someone was from Portugal.
It wasn't all people from Chicago.
No, yeah. Right. I mean, there were people that were connecting through, but everybody was from somewhere interesting, and they were all going to cool places too because it's in the.
How do you know?
Because we all talked. It was 9 a.m.
He talks to strangers
your
all the time.
Your life is like a Stephen King movie without any threat.
I'll go for that. I'll go for that. No, and also,
it's just random people connecting. But there's no boogans outside
also,
to fight.
And I forget what terminal in Chicago O'Hare. There's the sporty one. It's kind of shit. It's all brushed aluminum. And there's a cranky old fucker that works behind the bar, and he's hilarious. And people that go to the airport a lot go to that bar because he's really funny. So you meet a bunch of characters. It's like a weird Cheers kind of situation. And I actually have met people at that bar in Chicago and gotten their phone numbers and like hung out with them when I came back to town because it's a good
this
place.
This is not good behavior.
You shouldn't be. It's called having a personality. Yeah.
This
you're
is
fucking hang out and meet
crazy.
People. You talk to people.
That's
so anyway,
crazy.
Let's get back to my fucking story. So I'm at LAX, 10 a.m., maybe even 9 a.m., and we're at the fucking bar, and it's absolutely jammed with people, and maybe there was a delay in a flight, so it's just completely rammed.
So many interesting people, right?
Yeah. Well, I get in there, and there's nowhere to sit or to stand. There's no seats at the bar. There's no tables. So I just walk up and think, I'll have a beer. While I'm, you know, getting ready to get in the plane, it's 9 a.m. Have a beer. We're at the airport,
yeah.
And I go up there and I wave down the bartender, and he looks at me and he goes ID. He just yells ID. Jesus Christ! So I take out my ID and I put it in the bar, and he goes. And so then he goes away for a while to make a drink. Then he comes back. And goes, what do you want?
He didn't look at the ID.
No. ID's on the bar. He's got his hand on it, and he's looking at me. He goes, what do you want? I go, I'd like a Modelo Especial. He goes, $6. and so I go, okay. And he stands there and waits for me to take the money out. Like he couldn't just go make it. He's standing staring at me with his hand on my ID. And I take the money out. And then he takes the money and goes away. And he's all angry. It's fucking 9 a.m. It's too busy. And he brings me the beer. And there's nowhere to be. So I just stand behind the people at the bar. And I start to drink my beer. And he goes, you can't stand when you drink in here. And I turned to him and said, I can stand it if you can. Which I thought was pretty good for 9 a.m. No fucking laugh at all.
Of course.
Can stand it. Are we clear? Crystal, that's fucking better than that because it was on the fucking fly.
Yeah.
You can't stand when you drink in here. I can stand it if you can. No, don't give me your fucking bullshit applause. I thought it was pretty good.
For me, the least believable part of the story is that a beer at the airport costs $6.
It was $8, whatever the fuck it was, $8.
So, speaking of Chicago, you were in my hometown of Milwaukee.
In Chicago. I was in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Milwaukee. It was great. I had a great
time.
Were
they a good crowd in Milwaukee?
They were an awesome crowd. I asked you, I was like, hey, what's the vibe with the city? And you said, blue-collar liberal.
Yeah.
And if...
Yeah,
it was awesome. I had a great time. I met Frito.
Frito.
He did not introduce himself as that.
Is it Frito?
Friedel. Well, his name is Friedel, F-R-I-E-D-E-L, German name.
Okay.
But we always called him Frito, because like, it just sounds like Frito.
Someone, these guys, no, Rob Schraub, I was Schraub yesterday, he told me the story of how he drove you around while you were losing your virginity in the back seat.
Well, that that actually sounds better. The sad fact is that he would accompany me because I was afraid to navigate the freeway systems of Milwaukee when I was 16, 17, 16. Anything. I was like, I don't know how to get to this girl's apartment without getting lost. So he would come with me because he was more grown up than me at our age, and I rewarded him for his partnership by letting him sit in the girl's living room and watch TV while I would make out with her in her bedroom. And then
what about the family?
Well, do you mean the kid, her kid that was in a crib next to the bed where we were making out?
You know, sometimes just like a little physical detail in a story opens up a whole avenue.
Yeah. Yeah. Picture a crib with a baby in it and then me making out with the mother of the child. And then above on the wall above us is a dot matrix printed banner for New Kids on the Block.
Wow.
That just said New Kids on the Block.
It actually said I Heart Jordan Knight.
Every detail of this story made me sadder.
Wait, she printed that out for herself,
and that's
in
the reminder.
That's in the nursery that she loves Jordan Knight.
Yeah,
how old?
She was like 20, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
old enough to know better.
I didn't know what I wanted.
I didn't know if I wanted a woman old enough that her having a baby wasn't like kind of a bummer, or but then the NKOTB thing—that's what I'm calling him—would that would have been a bummer. So there's no good age for that.
No. Unless she was like, it was like, you know, Susan Sarandon, and I was like, you know, coming.
But then
of
why
age.
Does she like? Why does she like New Kids on the Block? Then that's.
Oh, that'd be weird. Well, maybe
there's
maybe
no
she
good
thought
range.
Her baby would like it. Yeah, that is the banner. So poor Friedel. Not only would he like wingman me or whatever you call that, like sat in the living room and like while we would make out.
Chauffeur.
When it finally came time for me to discard my maidenhood.
You're not being very crystal right now. What do you mean, discard your maidenhood?
Lose his virginity?
I was trying to come up with Frasier talk for lose my virginity.
Maidenhood?
Yeah, well, whatever.
Okay. All right.
It was a bit, you assholes.
So it was with the same lady.
This isn't Donahue. All right, sorry. Donahue was a show in the...
Around the time that the Billie Jean video was playing.
Yeah. Right after.
He was our Ricky Lake. Okay, there was this girl, Ricky Lake.
Was it the same lady? You were like dating a lady?
The Ricky Lake?
No. You were dating this 20-year-old lady.
Dating, yeah. Hooking up.
And you were how old? You were younger than her?
He was 16. How did you meet her?
Online. But it wasn't really, it wasn't really called online yet. It was like a modem. And a chat room kind of thing.
Yeah. Was she a babe?
She was, I met a lot of good looking young ladies. Considering the possibilities, you know, it could have easily, you know, you're chatting with someone that's saying, I'm an 18-year-old, you know, let's meet up in real life. Like, considering how the many ways that could have gone, I was very lucky.
So she lived in Milwaukee, you lived in Milwaukee.
And so Frito...
And you would have a friend of yours drive you because you didn't like navigating the mean streets of Milwaukee.
I just didn't even know how. I was just like, I would... And it's barely different now. It just has GPS now.
The highways of Milwaukee, your own manhood. So much going on, right?
Yeah, so when I came time to leave my virginity, this is just to say how cool Friedel is. Friedel didn't drive me around while I did it in the backseat. We drove to under the Hone Bridge in Milwaukee. It was the dead of winter.
She didn't want to fuck by the baby? Is that what it was?
Well, her mom had come home. Oh. The night that we did it, her mom came home and was angry because she had found out that the girl had taped back together a check for the New Kids on the Block fan club that the mother had ripped up because she hadn't done some chore or something. So the daughter had taped it back together, sent it to the New Kids on the Block, and they cashed it. Because they saw the writing on the wall.
What was it?
They were like,
what was the amount?
NSYNC is coming.
What was the amount on that check? Any
it was like a fucking dollar. I think it was literally a dollar.
What does that dollar buy you?
More printer ink? I don't know. I really don't know.
That is, God, the story.
But so they got in this big drunken fight, and the mom like pulled out a steak knife and was like, and I was like, in my acrylic sweater with my rat tail and my my earring and my pimples, going like, "Hey, cool down, man! You guys are mother and daughter.
Is there a baby?
You love each other, man." And it was so romantic.
The kid is not my son.
And so, to reward me for my valor, we went under the Hone Bridge.
And you knew it was for this. She was like, "Listen, you stood up for me against my mom. I'm going to take your maidenhood."
Yeah.
That was the deal. Like, seriously, she was like, "Let's go get this gun."
I think it was more like kind
this,
of like
this is you losing your virginity. This story.
Yeah.
Wow. So you'd been working out. You'd been making out with her.
Yeah.
And you guys hadn't had sex yet.
Right. And then it was like this is. I mean, I think it was just a culmination of emotional.
Now there was an emotional crisis. Right. And
it was like, let's go somewhere.
Tonight's the fucking
our
night.
Anger
I'm
away.
I'm heart of the fucking diamond right now. Fucking.
So Frito. This is all just a story. Which I'm just telling you how cool Frito is, who you met. So poor fucking Frito hung out in the fucking snow and ice in Milwaukee while I, in my Firebird, my mom's Firebird.
Jesus Christ.
You know.
I like that the Firebird is the most shocking detail.
The thing is, any specific detail from now on is going to make it only worse.
I mean, I've told this story a lot before because the ending is even more amazing.
All I remember is the denouement.
I know, but
they had sex with her. I used a condom because I'm a classy, responsible gentleman. and it finished, and I had the condom, and I didn't know what to do with it. First condom, first used condom. I didn't have a little bag.
You'd never masturbated into a condom before you.
let's get back to that one, Camille. We're going to table that one until after Dan's story.
That reminded me of that play, that Toys movie with Robin Williams, when someone goes like, "It's floating fake poop, you know, for the bathtub." And then a guy goes, "Come on, we've all done it." And everyone looks at him, and there's just a scene just moves out. We all shit in the tub sometimes.
Camille's blushing right now.
So anyways, I took the
which
condom.
Takes a lot.
I know.
There was I believe it was called a moon roof on the car, which is a sunroof that doesn't really open all the way. It just kind of props open about 20 degrees. And so I very gracefully you took the condom and I chucked it backwards out the opening of the moonroof. Dead of winter. So Frito come back in from the snow. Fucking friends forever.
Where is he huddled in a ditch?
He was with a friend of the girls. My girl got him a girl.
Was he making out with this other girl?
I don't know if they were making out. Maybe they're just chatting and smoking. I don't know if he got anywhere with her or not. I can't remember.
It's snowing out, right? Like, it's cold.
Yeah, and so Frito get back in, and we take everybody home, and thank you very much. I got school tomorrow. I drive the Firebird into the garage. I get out. I tiptoe inside. I go to sleep. I get up in the morning, go out to the cold garage, the sub-zero garage, and they're frozen to the roof. But also fucking amazingly frozen in a wind sock, kind of like it wasn't like a crumpled up thing. It was like it had somehow the wind had stretched it and a tadpole tail, you know, it had been whipping in the wind probably and then slowly froze.
Yeah.
And so just looked like this, you know,
this like green antenna.
Yeah, it's a flag memorializing your spent maidenhood.
And I just looked at the camera and said, "It's a living."
So
Irish out.
So lucky nobody else saw that first. Your mom didn't come down.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But what would she do? She wouldn't touch it. She'd be like, "What's this?" And I would go, "Mom."
That's it.
What do you think, gun to your head, Mom? What do you think? That's like when my mom found weed in my clothes pocket. I was home from. I came home to do my laundry, like a good 20-year-old, early 20s guy. And my mom was like going through my laundry. Like pulled out this baggie from one of my pockets. "What's this?" And I said, "That's what you get for going through laundry." Now you know.
I'll explain the condom thing.
Okay.
I mean, if your whole life, the only way you've come is with feeling your own hand, every now and then you want to feel something else. So I would sometimes wear a condom because it feels different.
Because it was lubricated?
Yeah, lubricated. I'm not a monster.
I'm sure I've tried it. I don't recall, but I guarantee you.
I did some pretty high concept shit
in my time.
I remember putting one on because I was like, "Holy shit, that's a condom." It feels great.
I remember putting a condom on and being like, "This feels as good as sex feels, I bet." I was wrong. Yeah. There was way more happening.
You had a really good condom.
Yeah, it was, you know, too tight. What do you want me to say?
Let's bring out condom expert Spencer Crittenden.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey Spencer.
That's a snazzy podium. Man.
Isn't
it's
great?
A Dharma, it's a lost podium.
I'm into it.
There's a bunch of props from the Lost TV show at Meltdown, and this is obviously one of them.
For real? From the Lost TV show?
Yeah, the desk in there, if that's the same one, is from the set, and it has Dharma logo all over it. Desk in there, and this is also a Dharma thing.
This is
also
great. Like
the Dharma reference. Logo has a guy in the center of it that has Mickey Mouse ears on.
Yeah. It's surrounded by, like, the I Ching shit.
Hmm.
You don't know Lost, I guess.
No, I know what you're talking about with Dharma, but the symbol with those sticks being radiated like in an eight, like an octagram, that's like also an I Ching sort of thing.
Mm.
The Book of Changes.
Book of Changes, no big deal. It's like a vocal tumor.
So, you know, you guys, this is my 100th episode on this podcast.
Syndication, baby.
I don't want to be shitty, but it's not really the 100th episode because you have missed some in the middle.
Yeah, so, you know, my 100th episode being on the podcast.
I think very intense deja vu right now.
You were on the fifth one?
Huh? Yeah. Podcast.
How many episodes did we do before we started recording these? Any idea?
No, not me.
Well, there's actually, we're finding that out right now, digging through the old, we recorded them, but never intended to podcast them for a couple of episodes that we're digging up now, and we're editing them a little bit for a kind of box set that we're going to offer people.
Oh, no shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do your throat thing one more time?
Wait.
It sounds like your stomach is growling out of your throat.
Mm. Are you concerned about this, Dan? Is this a cause for alarm?
Well, he went to the doctor.
Yeah.
Was the doctor concerned?
Doctors are not concerned
They've
about people.
They've seen the most horrible shit that day. They've seen someone with a cancer that's going to kill them that day.
I actually had an appointment. I'm 40 now. I had an appointment to go to a doctor and get my actual 40 physical and maybe get the old Up the
up the hee haw.
Yeah, up the hee haw. But then I had to, go out of town, so I missed it. But have you done that? Then?
Wait, what is that? When it goes in your
When they put the finger up for the prostate cancer.
Oh yeah, well a guy did that.
You know
to
what
me.
You should do when he puts the finger up and gets to the prostate? Look at him, lock eyes, and go game recognize game.
I'm gonna say, I can stand it if you can.
Crystal. Can you feel my finger up your ass? Crystal.
Crystal.
I went to a guy for my heartburn. My doctor gave me a referral to a specialist for heartburn. I went in. The guy told me to take off my pants and lay down sideways on the table. And he put on a glove, and he said
don't
some glib comment like this is gonna fuck a little bit, like I tell he had some line he had written like I tell everyone just relax, although I'd be surprised if you could, something like that. And I'm like, I guess so. This, and he put his finger up my ass, and he's feeling around, and he goes like, oh, no internal hemorrhoids, everything's fine, everything's great in here. And I'm thinking, first of all, wrong. You don't even know everything about my ass. I have a fucking hemorrhoid. I like to beat the band. Second of all, what part of heartburn don't you understand? What's going on? Why is there a finger in my ass? My chest hurts.
The way to a man's heart. God, I fucking can't lose tonight. It's really my night.
And then he gave me a prescription of something that I never actually went and got. He gave me another referral to a different guy. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. It was like fire in the sky.
Yeah,
no,
I want you to go see my friend Tony. He lives in West Hollywood.
Yeah, I was like, give him this note. Don't open it.
Yeah.
And then I go to Tony, and Tony's like reading it. I'm like, hey, come downstairs with me.
Lay down sideways. Yeah.
It's the
not medically trained, but you can call me doctor.
Wow.
What could you possibly find of value in there about my heartburn?
It's all part of the same gastrointestinal.
We're all the same thing. Your mouth is a direct line to your butt.
I know that. But it's my mouth's closer to where it hurts. Like, and the butt is where the poop comes out.
Yeah, but maybe something's getting happening in there, and it's like moving shit back
like
up.
I put bad food up my butt. Like,
no, like bad food got maybe stuck close to your butt. And
we'll be right back.
Like the beginnings. This is the beginnings of medicine, by the way. Like maybe some bad food got stuck up your butt on the way out your butt, and it's causing, it's sending a signal to you where your heartburn is happening.
We gotta have Shrab on here.
Sorry, another hand comes up, and I'm very fascinated about this.
This is probably called loss of opportunity.
Loss of opportunity?
Yeah, it's something legal. You know, if you got prostate cancer and the guy doesn't examine, a year or two from now, you're fucked up.
Oh, so you're saying that maybe heartburn and one of the symptoms of prostate cancer is heartburn. So
no,
he had to.
No.
That's not what you're saying.
Come up here and get on mic if you're going to talk for a bit. Get up here. I'm curious about this. You're saying it's a legal thing. Like, I went to a guy for heartburn 2 years ago, and now I got prostate cancer, and he should have put a finger up my butt.
Yeah. There's a microphone.
You see.
Yeah.
Total pro. Great move.
All right.
Now, wisdom.
Okay. So, if you get prostate cancer and 2 years from now you're really fucked up and no doctor has seen it and they check your records, and they see that you went to a doctor 2 years ago and that he could have examined you, and he didn't, then...
Is this specifically about prostate cancer or like any sort of... Or is this like a prostate cancer
You're saying if you go into a doctor and you have a chipped tooth or a sore throat and they don't put a finger up your butt, that they could be sued for malpractice or malfeasance or something?
Yeah, just kind of fucked up because, you know, American medicine.
I have two questions. What's your name, sir?
Helder.
Yeah. What do you do?
I study medicine.
You study medicine?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, so you're going to be a doctor?
Soon. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and it all started with you being fascinated by, like, dead animals and stuff, right? And your dad was like, don't be a serial killer. Go to medical school.
No. Actually, I'm not from here. You know, I'm from Brazil. And there, you know, starting. All doctors are assholes, major assholes. So let me get this out of the way.
Hmm.
So, no.
What sort of medicine do you want to practice?
I really don't know. Maybe radiology, but...
Radiology is the cushy one. That's where there's no emergencies. My cousin's a radiologist. Yeah. You make a lot of money. There's no emergencies. The hours are easy. You just are sort of looking at x-rays and like text, like lab stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
And you're constantly exposed to radiation.
Sure. Listen.
Which can't hurt.
I mean... As the old saying goes, radiation can't hurt.
So are you saying, Helder, just to be clear, this loss of opportunity concept, it's not even like Jeff said, if I went in with a broken pinky, is that so, or is it because it had to do with my internal medicine?
No, it didn't have to do with your heart, but
I just got a spot check
for I will yeah well I've been to a doctor and that hasn't happened, so why doesn't that happen every time you go to a doctor? You're saying doctors live in fear of not diagnosing prostate cancer.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, but I really don't know exactly why. You know, that's one thing that could happen.
I guess they're just playing the odds. Like, it's
you know.
By the way, you already sound like a doctor. I don't know exactly. I mean, that could happen.
I don't know.
Just give me a number, doc. Tell me how long have I got.
That's why I didn't say anything when you were complaining about your throat.
What do you think it is?
I have no fucking idea.
How long have you studied medicine, Helder?
6 years.
6 years. What school did you go to? Or did you go to?
In Brazil. I studied in the Federal University.
Do you live in LA now, or are you just visiting?
No, I just visited.
Really? You left Brazil during the World Cup?
Yeah.
It's probably a good time to go, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brazil's...
You're just visiting Los Angeles. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you thought, like, fuck it, it's a good time to get out of here, where all the tourists are here and stuff?
Yeah.
What town are you from?
Rio.
Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably a good time to be not at home right now.
Yeah, Rio's complete chaos.
How do you feel about it? Because, like, all the civil unrest and stuff like that, because there was riots leading up to the World
Cup. Oh, he's pro.
I think, like, historically, lots of cities, like, the local population loses a lot. Like, the working class loses a lot. It's a bunch of graft from the top and corporations and contractors get bids and stuff like that. Does the average person in Rio hate the World Cup? Or are they happy that it's there?
Yeah. Well, now that it is happening, people are... You know, kind of okay with it because, you know, Brazil's playing and crazy.
That fucking bullshit.
Oh, I have a World Cup question.
I also have one. Are you a fan of football?
Not really.
Okay.
He's fucking here.
Is the logo two hands? Hands are like the worst thing in soccer.
Yeah. Soccer, they hate hands.
That would be like if the hockey logo was like roller skates.
The story, or
if a football logo was a chessboard.
Well, that trophy now, it's a good documentary about it. The trophy now is the world, which is the soccer ball, which is the hands all holding onto it. That's not the original one. The original one was like stolen, and Hitler wanted it, and Mussolini stole it for a while. There was an amazing story about like the original trophy, which is this beautiful piece of like Art Deco, a gold, and it was really wonderful. And it was probably the most coveted trophy that will ever be. Because it was, first of all, beautiful, and second of all, it's the World Cup, which is the most important thing for most, you know, like athletes. And it got, and we don't know where it is. But for a while, Mussolini had it, and Hitler tried to steal it and shit like that. It's really good.
Hitler loved art. I saw that movie.
Hitler loved art.
He was going to build a big Hitler museum with all the art and all the world in it.
Is this the John Cusack one? Or
Monuments Man. Is John Cusack in that? I can't even remember.
Yeah. Everyone
was in it.
No, George Clooney. George Clooney.
What's the one with young Hitler?
Called Max. Or wait, what is it called? Max? Yeah. That one, I told you on this podcast. I recommend viewing that. Because it's like very dramatic. Like I don't know. I don't think it's trying.
I don't think you can make a movie about Hitler and not have it be dramatic.
But it's like, I mean, if you want to see John Cusack pointing at a guy, poking him in the chest, and saying, "From your heart, Hitler."
I want to see it on the canvas, Hitler. It's just funny.
He's like, the world will be my canvas.
Yeah.
I have a football question. What? Do you guys not
too
know
soon.
What he
no.
did?
No. Too soon, man.
The story ends badly.
Yeah.
the other question, Spencer and I were talking about this on Twitter. Okay, the hardest thing about watching football is soccer or is that football. You don't know how. What at 90 minutes the game's not over. At 90 minutes they're like, now we're gonna play for a random amount of time.
As long as I
why
feel.
Why do you even have a clock?
It's not random.
I know it's.
It's not random.
Injury
it's
time. I know
random.
It's not. Why don't they just pause the clock and then so that it's always 90? That's what all the other sports are doing. Why is the time going
because
when they're fucking around?
They don't
when they're pretending to be hit.
They don't want to stop the clock. They don't want to. If you stop the clock, like today, they stop.
You got to use your hands.
No, no, no.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they can't. You can't stop the clock.
Oh. They hate hands.
Yeah. Each time there's an injury, there's a guy like trying to kick a clock,
yeah.
and it won't work.
You gotta make a foot.
How hard it is to work a stopwatch with your feet?
Yeah, that's like, the best explanation I've heard. For why they don't just pause the fucking clock?
Today during Mexico Netherlands, they stopped the clock for a water break because it was like 97 degrees or whatever, and they stopped it for the second time.
So they can do it. They know how to.
The second time in World Cup history, they stopped it for a water break, for a refreshments break, and they went to commercial. And it was really a bummer because, like the one thing that you can dig about soccer or international football is that you don't see a bunch of fucking commercials. They had a water break, and they went to commercial, and it was a big drag.
Why don't they just hit pause? It's not why. So then we know when the game's over. The players are playing like we have a random amount of time left to score. Wouldn't it be better if they knew exactly how much time they had left? Yeah.
No.
Why? Nope. Why would it be worse if they knew exactly how much time they had left?
Well. One of the big things, there's a lot of corruption in soccer.
There's a lot of corruption in soccer. Is how this explanation is starting.
FIFA's like Chicago politics from the 1800s.
We don't have to go so far back.
There's two different things. One is to see like how bad of a person you are, how bad of a team you are. Because there are teams like Italy that just flop around and they lay around.
This has nothing to do with the question.
No, it does with the clock.
Okay.
Yeah, they like ham it up and like
you don't
they waste
time. If you know it's 90 minutes and people can just go, okay, we're ahead by two goals. We're just going to eat up the clock and lay on the ground or do a bunch of shit. Now, the referee says, no.
Well, no, they can
you
pause
lay on the ground,
time.
You lay on the ground, then we can yeah, but I don't know. For me, it is a weird thing.
That there's no other sport that's like, the game will end when it ends. Yeah.
It ends when it
Who
ends.
Who the fuck knows? I think there's about 5 minutes left.
There was a piece, I think it was New York Times, something like that I saw, that ranked countries by how much time they spend on the ground writhing in fake agony. And it's so interesting. But the team that won today that beat Mexico, the Netherlands, they weren't even in the top 20, I don't think. Like, there's certain teams that just do not flop and don't spend time writhing around on the ground. Brazil, number one. Because they South American teams, Central American teams, and also parts of like the Spanish leagues, Italian leagues. There's a big culture of just fucking like. There's a great thing on YouTube where there's people doing flops and they have like a crosshairs like a sniper.
And I saw that.
It's people going and falling down. But there's a crosshairs and a bullet sound goes off. But there's no one anywhere near them. It's really good.
Okay, so because they flop.
That's just another aspect of the game, right? Is what you're saying? It's like its own kind of.
No, but I don't get what that has to do with the clock.
Well, I mean, you have actual injuries that happen in soccer and stuff. That's why you have the extra time. And that's why it's added on when.
But why don't they just pause when the injuries happen?
Because then I think people would use the ball's really never dead. Like, there's not like a lot of dead ball situations like in basketball where the whistle blows and there's lots of breaks and everyone has a drink of water. In soccer, you just play.
There's
you
no
keep
commercials.
Going.
It's fucking amazing. If you watch NBA or college, and for the last 2 minutes, it's nothing but commercials. There's no commercials.
No, it's great, but why don't they just pause the clock? They don't have to. You don't have
that's
to.
That's such
commercial.
That's a false dichotomy. You don't. The alternative isn't. I guess we're gonna have to buy a lot of commercials and shove them into these breaks.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
I'm not even saying breaks. When someone falls down, we just
play for 45 minutes, and if there's been an injury or if there's been lots of substitutions, they add 30 seconds for this, a minute for that, and they add it up, and
nobody knows what that number is.
No, the officials
that it's
do.
There's one guy
the fourth, who knows. The fourth official saying we're going to give you 30 seconds for this substitution, 30 seconds for this penalty kick, a minute for that injury.
The officials know, but game not recognize clock.
Wow.
World's best callback.
Yeah, that was sitting on that egg. For
yeah, that was the World Cup of callbacks.
So
there's Dr. Toomer is raising his hand.
The real answer is like FIFA has never been known for embracing change.
FIFA doesn't embrace change.
Right, it took them quite a while to embrace goal line technology.
Goal line technology.
For
okay.
Why are you guys talking about this?
You just walked in, sir. I saw you walk in. We're at a show.
I had to get a drink.
Okay.
So you had to get up and get a drink, but now we're doing the show wrong because you came back in and we're talking about soccer not to your liking?
But you're talking about it wrong.
Oh. Who's this fancy gentleman? And then it's a guy in a linen suit.
I know he likes to drink.
Yes, in the front row.
You're right.
More virginity losing stories.
Virginity.
Yeah. Well, there can be only one.
I've got three. Yeah. That was my only condom virginity. My couch virginity. Which was just me fucking.
We were watching. Did I talk about this?
What was your cantaloupe virginity? How old are you during the first cantaloupe you fucked?
Huh. What? Are we talking honeydew, watermelon?
Cantaloupe.
Because I was honeydew.
Oh, dear God. What have we become?
We were watching a documentary about this church quiz that these kids do. And there's all these Christian teens who are talking about that. One of them was saying, I haven't kissed a boy yet, but I lost my handginity 2 years ago. And Aaron and I thought, we're like, Aaron was so bummed. She's like, he won't let you kiss him, but he made you jerk him off in a car? Like what kind of fucked up shit? It was 10 minutes later that we figured out that she meant... That,
masturbation?
No, that she held holding hands with a boy.
What?
That's
fucking disturbing.
Oh, wow. But we immediately thought she meant hand
job.
Yeah,
I thought she fucking...
My
I
hand
thought
genity.
Masturbation.
Anyway, so speaking of Erin, she's not here tonight. Helder, would you be willing to play? Do you ever listen to the podcast? If you listen to us play Dungeons and Dragons, have you heard us play it? Like you can. Okay, you're a doctor. You'll figure it out. Erin's at a party celebrating the new season of Drunk History, which she's a part of. Her episode is got. John Lithgow and Chris Parnell and Winona Ryder.
Fucking A. Wow.
I haven't seen it, but I'm really looking forward to it.
It's
a Benedict Arnold. She tells a story about Benedict Arnold. And I heard that, which I think she was telling me, Weird Al Yankovic plays Hitler this season.
That's great. That's
yeah,
great.
Somebody tells a story about Hitler and Weird Al Yankovic.
Does he cut his hair off, or is he?
That's what I asked, and then Aaron mocked me and said, "You know, they have these things called wigs," and I was like, "You can't make long hair into short hair with a wig." And she said, "Yes, you can." And
he's got too much hair to put a fucking like a Hitler hair on. Yeah. You can't just put it.
Maybe
like a little...
he cut it. Maybe that'll be Weird Al's new look. Because he kind of never went back from his Qui-Gon hair. Like, you know, he kind of did that, and then he was like, he kind of had
Qui-Gon.
Wasn't it? Am I Qui-Gon?
Qui-Gon Jinn? Oh, okay.
I don't know. Anyways, whatever. She's not here. We're replacing her.
All right,
with
Spencer, will you hand us out the or Dan? You want to pass down the character sheets?
Yeah.
I am kind of interested in finding out why that guy was saying we were talking about it wrong.
He didn't like to hear about sports.
He seems like bad news to me.
Maybe we were using our hands too much.
But I will say, I did also wonder why we were talking about soccer for like 30 minutes.
I fucking like soccer. How about that? Also, I bet some douchebag.
Someone's got two.
I bet a guy $100 because he's being an asshole. What do I got? I bet a guy $100 on the Mexico Netherlands game. I never bet on sports. I'll never do it again because it was stupid. I'm not rooting against Mexico, but this guy was just being an asshole. So I bet him. I didn't get his name, and I'll never see him again. I have no idea who it was, and I guarantee you.
Did you meet him at an airport?
Huh? If you were in an airport, you would have gotten his phone number. You've never
just you've never met people at a bar. You've never just struck up conversation.
I've never just talked to random. If people start talking to me, I'm like, "What the fuck do you want? I don't have it." when people ask me anything, you I'm meet like, the most, I don't have
you,
it.
You meet interesting people at bars, and especially at airport bars, because people are coming and going. And it's very fascinating to me.
I agree.
Yeah. I agree.
If somebody starts chatting me up, I won't like cold shoulder them at a you know in public. But yeah, I don't.
Emily will do this like on an airplane. She has this rule where she won't. So it was me. It was me in the aisle, her in the middle, and a person at the this old lady at the window. And this we sat down, and she's like, "You have to right away establish what the tone is going to be." So this lady looked at Emily and was like, "Where are you going?" And Emily just sat there stone faced. And the old lady asked her three times, and Emily just like fucking bit her lip and was like, "I'm gonna power through this." Said nothing, and it was a great flight.
Not for
Holy
that old
lady. Shit.
Not for that lady.
Who gives a fuck what the old lady wants?
I do.
Okay,
I
well then take the middle seat from Emily and get her phone number.
Get Emily's phone number?
Have you? Yeah, I'll give you Emily.
You guys don't strike up conversations. I mean,
the problem. You're that guy.
No. On a flight, I don't want jibber jabber. I don't want to be like, "Hey, so where are you going?" On the plane, I want absolute fucking graveyard silence on a flight.
Right. Okay. Good.
But like, if you're at the fucking airport bar, like I'm not like you just go like, "So, where are you going?" Like, you don't do that. But sometimes conversation comes up, and you find out that people are just having a good old time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See. Yeah. So some people are curious about the people sitting next to them, and also
I could not care less.
But you're a comedian. Wouldn't you benefit from mining like human experiences?
Yeah. No. I talked to a guy once, and I got 3 hours of material out of it. No.
You're a fucking sociopath.
No, sociopaths are the ones who
I'm not saying you go up there and you grab everybody's ass that sits next to you and you fucking harangue them. Like, but sometimes conversation starts. And
actively block them. I swat away attempts at conversation.
Real?
100%.
That doesn't seem like you at all. You're a very garrulous, like, chatty guy.
Yeah, but not with fucking people I don't know. Like, Helder, you're a great guy. If you sat down next to me and were like, "What's up?" I would, like, just fucking stare straight in front of me until you left.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, "What's up?"
He wouldn't say it. See? Great.
I don't get it. I mean, look, my girlfriend's Scottish. We went to Scotland. She kept accusing me. She's like, "Jeff, when you go to Scotland, you can't just go out there and be Jeff Davis and say hello. How do you do to every fucking person? Like, so they'll fucking hate you." I'm like, "They're going to love me." And then I was walking down the fucking street, Christmas Day or Christmas Eve Day, and walking down the road, and I see her father outside, and I see him. I'm leaving. I want to go get Kate a little gift and have breakfast on my own. And I come back, and I see him talking to a dude, and he's talking to a buddy of his, a small town outside of Edinburgh. And they're talking. So I see him, and he goes, "Hey, Jeff, what are you up to?" And I'm like, "Oh, I did this, I did that." And there's a guy standing, like, right a foot away from me, and he and Andy, her dad and I, are talking for a while, and he's like, so later on, we'll do this, we'll do that. I said, "Yeah, I know." We're just chatting. And I turn to the guy next to me because it's weird that I haven't been introduced. But they clearly know each other. I go, "Hi, I'm Jeff." He goes, "Oh, I'm Craig." "Hey, Craig," or whatever his name was. And we shake hands. I get back in the house, and Kate's father's like, "There's Jeff walking down the road, just saying, 'How do you do? Oh, good morning.'" I was like, "You're fucking, there's a guy standing there. Like, introduce him." And he goes, "Jeff, we just don't do that." I go, "It's called having a personality, Andy."
Well, you ruined Craig's day.
Craig liked it.
Also, Craig's still talking
Craig
about it.
Craig fucking liked it. Also,
two people he fucking knows.
So then we go to Kate's family. They meet at the borders because some of her family's in England and some of her family's in Scotland. So they meet at the Scottish-English borders. And we, Dan and Aaron and I and Kate, we all go to the Hadrian's Wall. You know, some famous old Roman wall, you know, and shit. So we're looking at some history, but it was all closed because it was Boxing Day. So all the tourist centers are closed. So we go back to the house. It's everybody there we've known. We've met all the family. There's a few Americans there, us, and everyone else is Kate's family. We meet everybody because we've been there for 2 days. There's a guy that comes in who works with her mother. I don't know this guy. We're standing in the foyer, and he's shaking off his umbrella. And I go, "Hi, I'm Jeff." He goes, "Hi, my name is Craig," because they're all Craig for some fucking reason. Everyone's named Craig. And we meet, And he goes, he's asking me questions. He's like, so what have you been doing since you've been here? I said, well, we went to Hadrian's Wall. He's like, oh, what part did you go to? I said, it was this part, but it was closed. He goes, well, you know, like, I'm a big history fan. Like, I know all about it. He's telling me all about Hadrian's Wall. And he was like going in this big, expansive monologue about why this happened. And I asked him questions. And he's following up. And then fucking Kate's dad comes in. Oh, there's Jeff again. Fucking, how do you do? I'm like, fuck you.
It'd be so funny if it was like Sixth Sense where we actually see what's happening and it's just you talking to this guy.
And he's all bummed out.
Yeah, and the other guy's just like trying to get away.
Kate warned me. She's like, Jenny, fucking talk to Granny. Granny will fucking murder you. She fucking, like, Granny hates everyone. Like, Grannies love me. I'm fucking great with the grandparents. She's like, Granny hates everyone. Like, fucking Jenny with Granny. And fucking met Granny. Guess what? Best fucking friend. She fucking loved me.
That's what you think, yeah.
She did. Actually, Kate, later on, she's like, Granny loves you. She's like, she hates everybody else, but she loves you. I was like, yeah, because she hasn't been spoken to, because you guys are a bunch of terse weirdos. Like, fucking make an effort, cocksuckers. All right, speaking of making an effort, let's make an effort to play some D&D, shall we?
When we last met, our heroes had yet again escaped Admiral Darkstar's clutches. Thanks to Mulrain and Harope, our heroes were saved, escaping certain death. Back to Bill Mardigan's, the city that's everywhere. After returning to the ruined Seeker's hideout, the party grew bored and discussed Krista Berg's genital reattachment, but ultimately found themselves in a gnomish bar known as the Rusty Buckle. After much journeying, our heroes were weary and sought the comfort of the pub, but inside, upon seeing a wondrous gnome golem, decided to steal it. And after a tense robbery, the party got cold feet and returned the stolen golem, but they were still interrupted by a specter from Quark's sordid past. The Cactus Bunch had resurfaced. The gnomish gangsters attacked our party, but together our heroes slaughtered them all, and after a brilliant speech by Sharpie, they robbed the remaining gnomes and set fire to the pub. Walking off into the foreground like badasses. But would they really just escape scot-free? Isn't arson a crime? And what of the Cactus Bunch? Or the robot baby? Find out in an all-new exciting episode of Harmontown.
So I wasn't here last week. I was disappointed. It sounded like we didn't steal the robot baby, but what he actually did was we killed everyone and took all the robot babies.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You and Aaron went nuts like the first time, and then the following week
I think wanting a robot baby is not nuts,
but stealing it from people is crazy.
But you went on a speech that now we're going to be bad guys and steal everything.
Well, it's because I have to justify this narrative somehow. We're chaotic evil now. Like we're bad people now.
I think we're chaotic neutral.
I'd say that's right, yeah.
We've been bad for a
Thanks,
long
Spencer.
Time.
Thanks, Spencer.
You're chaotic something.
All right, so do we have this robot golem, baby?
Yeah, you got it? Yes.
What's the name of it?
Well, I don't know.
Let's name it.
What should we?
Heldor?
Heldor.
Can we name it Heldor?
How do you... H-E-L-D-E-R?
All right.
You have to think about it. What are you lying to us about?
Everything. It's spelled different in Portuguese.
Do you think when Heldor grows up, he'll just be a giant simpleton that only says Heldor?
Heldor.
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 Remember when Hodor... it's my least favorite part of Game of Thrones.
Is
that whole storyline with the fucking kids and the magic trees. It's like...
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I remember when Hodor like looked down a well and was like, Hodor! And then... It's like, it's so hard to not, like, it's just Timmy from South Park. That's all it is.
What a great gig as an actor, though. What are my lines? Okay, I got it. I'm off
and
book.
Also, unlike Timmy from South Park, it's revealed at some point someone says, it's not his name, you know. It's just the sound he makes.
That's like
it's almost, not his name. His name's like Frank or something.
That's like Anyang from Arrested Development kind of shit. Yeah. You know, that guy's a... By the way, every actor on Game of Thrones is also a house DJ. And Hodor is a DJ. Grey Worm is a DJ.
Dinklage is a DJ?
Dinklage is a... Is he?
No.
Well, he's American, but all... 90% of the cast has like.
That's not true.
Look it up. Hodor, so many of them are. Yeah.
He's got star tattoos.
Helped launch his DJ career.
Sweet.
Yeah. I would definitely, if I had to choose between two raves and one was being spun by Hodor and the other had like foam coming down from the ceiling, I'd be like, let's do
it. It'd be so funny if it's just popular songs, but the words are all replaced with Hodor.
Hodor.
Yeah.
I don't know why he'd sing it like. Sounded like Johnny Cash or something. Hodor.
Yeah.
I got a mean bad Hodor going down a 57 Chevy.
I got a mean
bad. It's going down the Chevy?
Yep. The Chevy's so big it's got an elevator in it.
Hodor.
All right, I examine our surroundings, Spencer.
So behind you is a flaming domicile. It's the pub. It's on fire. Around you are other stores, but they don't look... They do look close enough that they might also catch on fire.
Oh, boy.
But they're not yet. There's just other stores. None of these stores are marked. It's kind of not the best part of town, you can tell. There's broken windows and stuff.
And one of them's on fire.
And the one of the buildings on fire, yeah. Clear sign of poverty.
Do we have any aim right now? We just kind of finished a little bit of a mission, right? We got this golem baby. Like what?
Yeah, we get to this is one of those rare delightful parts of a D&D campaign where you can kind of we get to do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if we wait too long, he's gonna have a pterodactyl guy come out and go, pterodactylons need your help. But if we're smart about this, we can fucking.
I go to the building most adjacent to the fire, and since this building's probably gonna burn down, I just go examine it and see what's in there.
Are you trying to make looting sound gentlemanly?
Yeah. I'm just being
Since this building's about to catch fire, I believe I'll peruse its wares.
It's an act of opportunity. What did you say about the opportunity? I'm putting my finger in his butt just in case we don't get sued later on.
So, yeah, you go over to the building and you smell an overwhelming stench of fish. You enter the door and you can tell no one's been here in quite a while. The air just seems still and there's a coating of dust all over everything. And the smell is just way worse in here. You can see there's piles of, they look just kind of like brown putrid stuff. They're gathered with flies and maggots.
Oh, it's probably robot baby food. We should feed this.
I was going to say, let's send the robot baby in to scout the...
Yeah. Hodor.
Robot baby isn't activated yet. We have to go find that little disc.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's not activated? What's...
It's not turned on,
It's just
on,
a
no.
dead baby we're walking around with.
Alright, I get out of the dead fish store.
Alright.
How do we activate the baby? I'm sorry.
There's a disc-shaped hole in its chest that we have to find some sort of thing that probably plugs into that.
Like a CD kind of thing?
Kind of like a saucer-shaped thing like a CD.
Yeah.
I poke my head into the deserted fish store and say, Hodor.
That happens.
And then I say, I'm going to be doing some DJing.
I go to the building.
Flyers haven't been invented yet, so...
I go to the building next to the dead fish store.
All right. This one, it looks like some sort of barber shop. There's an old gnome. He's got orange hair that's styled pretty nicely. And he's got small little glasses on his face, and he's just sweeping up.
Sir, there's a fire a couple doors down. You might want to get out of here.
Oh, yeah, of course. You would go talk to the random people. Oh, sir, where are you going today? Ugh.
Look, I'm a gnome, man. We're chatty. We like talking to people.
Cigarettes
and riddles, baby.
So you say that to the gnome, and he looks at you kind of odd. He's like, "Whoa, thanks. You seem awful casual about this."
Oh, I'm trying to warn you. There's a fire.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It just seemed your tone was like, "Hey, man, it's sunny outside, but this is a fire you're talking about." I'm not so worried right now. It's how casual you are.
You're the one being casual. I said fire, and you're being all like prosaic and shit.
I'm just vibing off of your energies.
I'll fucking make you leak, motherfucker.
I'm just trying to chat.
I'll slice you wide open. And you want to die in a fire? I'm trying to help you out.
I am appreciating that, man.
You have a very weird way of saying you're appreciating it.
I just thought it was a weird way you brought it up.
You're
all
being weird.
If this is what happens when you talk to strangers.
Can I get your phone number?
You see?
No, but he's just like, thanks, I guess.
Okay,
thanks.
Fuck it. I'm sorry I came in. Enjoy your barbershop. You're going to fucking die.
It's just, if I saw a fire, I would have been all like, there's a fire. You got to get out of here.
Well, the fire's been there a long time, you sweeping ass motherfucker. we've adjusted to it. Like, we did that. We went, fire, fire. Yeah. And then we calmed down. We're talking to people.
I was operating under the assumption. Look, first of all, you have a barbershop next to a dead fish place, which is fucking, like you stopped caring a long time ago.
Sidebar.
Yeah.
Campaigners.
Yeah.
Why are we hanging out in the town that we murdered and set fire to?
From? Yeah, let's go to another town.
We got
to
get out of this town.
This is all shitty fish stores and...
Wait, can't we go back? We're in Bombardigans. Can't we go through that toilet bucket thing that we gets us that portal thing?
Doesn't that take us to the place where the fucking Admiral Darkstar at Sinking Island is?
I don't know. It's a paradise. It was paradise.
Yeah, we destroyed that, like everything we touch.
Yeah,
we put up a parking lot.
Yeah,
I
say the sooner we get out of this weird
ass town.
Yeah,
we have to find
a
new place that we haven't yet ruined.
Let's go ruin a new place.
All right. Is there the equivalent of like a
Palm Springs,
a depot or a bus station, some place that we can embark on a new thing?
Yeah, how do people travel out of here quickly, Orange Hair?
You don't see anything like that. You haven't seen anything like that since you arrived here.
I'm asking Orange Hair.
Orange Hair.
Sweeper.
Oh, he's gone. He left.
He left?
Oh. We're still in his store?
Yeah, well, there's a fire.
Everyone's super casual about it. I turn to the rest of the group and I go, look, the guy, that's a complicated dude. If I ever see him, I'm probably going to kill him. I loot his store. I look around and try to loot his store.
You find 3 scissors and 6 combs.
I fucking take all of that shit. I put one in my hair like an afro pick and fucking like walk out like blaxploitation style.
It looks like that.
I wrap wax paper around one of the combs and I make a homemade kazoo.
All right. It's both fun and family friendly.
I whip out my non-dick and piss on the floor.
It just drips down your leg.
Hey, this is how it is now.
Let's get to the center of town, you guys, and find a fucking way out of here. Is there a downtown?
Center of town. Why not get out of town?
Can I ask a weird question? Yeah. Does a robot baby have a robot dick?
No.
Oh, okay. You can't have the baby's dick.
You have a dragon's dick.
We're not potato people. You can't just switch parts.
I just wanted to see if it was... Anyway, Leah, let's go to... Bad pitch. Let's go to the town center.
Why are we going to the center of the town that we want to get out of?
Maybe there's a fucking airport or some shit. We got to leave.
What do you propose? Where should we go?
Just the opposite direction of the havoc we've caused.
Let's go.
Wander into the wilderness.
Let's get the fuck out of Belmardigans right now.
You lead the way.
Okay. Charge. We go north.
You go north. As you get through, as you work your way through Belmardigans, the buildings get closer and closer together. You find it. There's less and less roads. It's harder and harder to get out of this place, and you manage to squeeze yourself past several skinny alleys, and you come to what looks like a large, large wall that stretches up as high as the eye can see.
Oh. It's like a video game.
We gotta find. Well, how the hell do we go? Do we go back to the entrance?
Do we still have that staff of that grows?
I don't think so. Unless there's a different one. The first one he had definitely melted.
All right. Well, maybe I could teleport to the top of the wall and throw rope down. Is my teleport cape still out of charge?
You'd have to sleep.
All right. Where's the town? Where's the entrance to the town? We got in here somehow.
You came in here through. Yeah, there's a kind of like an entrance checkpointy place.
All right, to the checkpoint place.
You head back through all those squishy buildings to the checkpointy place, and you find there's a. there's a different bucket than the one that you saw when you first came here, and there's no gnome on it. But it's just like a small clearing. It's fenced off, but behind the fence is this same wall, and you notice it looks like it's woven together like thatched or, you know, something like that. This wall that's tall, wall.
But there's another little portal bucket?
There's a bucket.
I stick my head in the bucket and look.
It's just a bucket.
So,
hey, there's nobody in there for you to start conversations with?
Look, live your life however you want to do it, man.
So when we...
fucking weird, closeted, antisocial life.
I mean, all this stranger talking has certainly made you very friendly.
I'm being persecuted for like being interested in the other.
Having
a sense of the possibly that you can learn something by meeting other people.
If it makes you happy, you know, then be happy.
It does. You guys are being weird about it.
I'm not doing anything.
Yes, you are. You're being fucking weird.
Yeah, Dan, what the fuck?
I didn't say. I mean, I have observations about the way Jeff manages
Who's
his
Jeff?
Social life.
Oh, my name is Quark. Right.
Give him experience points. how did we got into this town?
You climbed in through a bag.
I don't even remember that shit.
Do we still have that bag?
No, I think it was left on the ground.
Oh, shit.
Back by the fire?
Back in the entrance, where you guys now are.
Oh, is there a bag?
You don't see it.
There's a bucket. It's just a fucking regular old bucket.
Yep.
I say Hodor into the bucket.
That happens.
All right.
So this woven thatchy wall is blocking our way out?
Yep.
Well, let's do what we do. Let's set it on fire. That's our shtick now, right?
When in doubt,
flaming fire sorted or.
I go up and I try to attack the wall and make a hole in it.
I bet it's not gonna work, but let's go for it.
Jeez, right.
Fucking negative, Nelly. No.
Wait, I'm the one proposing that we not set something on fire, Nelly.
I'm just trying to chop it.
All right, you miss.
You missed a wall?
Yeah.
How did you miss a wall?
Because I was being heckled by my friends.
Yeah, he did as you were swinging.
Good luck over there.
It's not going to help. It's like playing darts with
him. You're going to miss?
Well, try it again.
you fucking do something.
I don't have swords. I'm a man of...
Use your magic.
All right, I cast Mordenkainen's Thatched Wall Destruction.
You don't know that spell.
All right. Well, let's try this. A very controlled fireball.
You're gonna light something on fire again, huh?
How close are you guys to this wall?
I mean, I'm not gonna shoot it if my friends are standing there.
Just making sure.
Everybody back up. I'm gonna try something.
Good call.
We instinctively move away from his fireball.
All right. You launch a fireball. Does hit.
Good, because nobody was haranguing him during it.
Yeah. It hits.
Hey,
the wall,
work, Sharpie.
It immediately really starts catching fire from the fireball, and it spreads in all directions.
Yeah!
You're welcome.
Do what we do.
We're either going to get out of here or all go to jail.
Yeah. The wall continues to burn, spreading out, and you see it starts to catch on fire some of the buildings nearby where you guys are are touching the wall.
I'm like, hey, who set the wall on fire?
Behind,
guys, I think we're good.
Behind this wall, you see another wall. It's very similar, but it's more of, I'd call it like a maroon color. But it's also the same fibrous material.
But it's not on fire from this fire?
No, it's kind of like as this wall's burning away, it's revealing this kind of different wall, if that makes sense.
I think we all know what to do, guys. Set it on fire.
Lightning bolt.
All right.
Maroon wall.
You blast it with the lightning bolt, and it scorches a small pinpoint. But it doesn't continue on fire.
Can I go look in the...
It just singes it.
Can I go look in the hole to see what's on the other side?
Yeah. You look in. Your eye is instantly bitten. Not by bites, but by cold. Frost taints your eye with its coldy grip as you look and see nothing but white, white light all around you. And then you get hit in the eye by something. It's snow. It's a piece of snow hits you in the eye.
Shit.
Piece of snow?
Yeah. I think they call it a flake. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Snowflake. Hits you in the eye. And it melts.
How much damage does it take?
It just, you notice it tangibly. It's just a snowflake. It's not painful.
All right, so we got one wall. It's a two-wall system. There's a statue one that's on fire. And then there's the maroon wall that is impervious to lightning strike.
Well, but we could also try and set it on fire.
Well, it wasn't impervious, strictly
maybe,
speaking.
Yeah, maybe it didn't do much damage to it. And then beyond that is just Snowtown, USA. I don't like it.
We gotta. If we're in a tundra, we can't just walk away.
The fire on the other parts of the wall continue burning and spreading on fire more.
I don't think we can hang out here.
And we're not going to get a lot of help from the locals.
No. I mean, they really should not help.
I look around for that. I look around for that bag that we came in through.
You still don't see it. Smoke clouds your vision.
We should have done that before you set the wall on fire.
Everybody spread out and look for that bag that we came in through.
All right. We really look for it.
Yeah. I also work really hard to look for it.
All right. Sharpie, you see it's a small box. It just catches your eye.
I got a box over here.
The rest of you find nothing of value.
John Doe has the upper hand.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box? That's Nick Cage.
I open it carefully with my switchblade.
You open the box and you see there. It's just a ton of cigarettes.
I dump them out.
All right. Cigarettes litter the floor.
I keep looking for the bag.
You don't find anything.
Do I find? What do I find?
No, you guys didn't find anything except he found this box of cigarettes.
All right. Well, what do I?
I smoke one of the cigarettes because I could use a smoke right now.
Yeah.
Wasn't there that one guy that wanted cigarettes? Remember him?
Yeah, I'm sure we murdered him.
Did we murder him?
Probably. Historically speaking, yes. Okay, I'm fucking confused.
Is this a wall? Well, we don't want to get out to the tundra, right? We don't want to do that.
I guess not. I mean, we're not really dressed for it.
And there's no way out of... We've set the thing we're in on fire.
Yeah.
There's no lesson to be learned from this.
Well, don't rob people... We were so. We
what
were,
did I do?
We finished.
We're turning on each other like a Stephen King.
What is my cactus card?
It's a small card. It's laminated. It says the Cactus Bunch.
And my little painted stick. We never figured out what that did, right?
Nope.
I cast acid splash on the maroon thatching.
Where are you aiming it? So on this thing,
I want at the pinhole where my shocking lightning bolt.
So you do that, and it splashes, and you see sizzling and little bits of smoke as it kind of spreads this hole wider. It's maybe now the size of a head-sized hole. It's just still seeing white. Now a bit of snow's kind of coming in.
Sounds great. I have three vials of acid. Can I throw those on there?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, do it.
Using the remaining acid in your possession, you acid up an entire man-sized hole big enough for someone to fit through, like a man. Or a woman.
I go through it with my cloak of resistance on.
You do that. Is anyone else going to do anything? Just watch me.
I have boots of wintry might.
Yeah.
So I put those on. And I go out and I'm like, hey, I've got your boots.
To winter. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you do that too. You guys, you both exit and you see as you step out, you feel your body changing and you step out. And as you step out, you see on the floor, you just see a bag, just a bag with a hole in it.
Bag.
Is our bag?
You see smoke issuing out of it.
Oh, fuck you. I look, acid the bag?
No. Is the bag on fire, too, or whatever's in there? I look in the bag.
You see, you poke your head in the bag, and you see Bill Mardigans and Sharpie and Morin and shit. And a fire all over the place.
What the fuck?
It just goes in there.
We're just back where we started from?
No, you're in the snow.
Outside there's a bag, and it's a portal to just inside the what we set on fire.
All right, I pick up the bag.
All right. You guys are still inside this fire.
I have some kind of resist
hellscape.
Anybody out there have any ideas what we should do right now?
There was
throw
someone.
Snow in the bag.
Say what?
Throw snow in the bag. Maybe it'll put out the fires.
How much snow are we going to throw in the bag?
All of it.
I take a handful of snow and I throw it in the bag.
You take a handful of snow and throw it into the bag. Sharpie, a handful of snow comes and falls onto the floor.
That's great.
Yeah. Really fixed everything.
I'm coming out. I go out through the hole. I know I had some kind of resist elements.
I think you have. I think all of you have cloaks of resistance.
Yeah. Great, okay. We put them all on. All
right, come on, Heldor, as Christaberg or
Mulrain. Do we see anything?
You see nothing. It's all tundra style. Wait a second. You see something. Part of the whiteness of the tundra is moving towards you.
Uh-oh.
Looks like a large humanoid figure, maybe about 7 or 8 feet tall.
This would probably be an ally. Right? Someone that'll help us out.
Why don't you go up there and... I go up there and I go, hey, how's it going? I introduce myself to him. How do you do? I'm Quark. And just introducing myself to who knows who.
It's pretty far off, but you do that and it shuffles closer to you. It seems like a big... Hairy man sort of thing covered in white fur. It's
these things are always misunderstood.
It's like a Yeti situation.
But like a Harry Henderson kind of Yeti.
It's a Harry.
What? Yo ho! We love you.
It continues to draw closer.
We don't judge you for being a monster.
Oh, don't use the M word. That's their word.
Are you human-splaining
to me? The M word.
All right. Well, yeah. Hello. Hello. My name's Sharpie Butzalot. I love you. You're a Yeti. You're super intelligent and misunderstood, and you're going to help us out.
The Yeti continues drawing nearer, and then you see it move its arm, and a large frozen net comes over all of your bodies.
Oh.
Oh.
He's giving us a blanket with holes in it.
Cliffhanger!
Right. Thank you, Heldor.
Heldor, everybody. Heldor,
thank you, soccer consultants. Thank you, guy that was bored with the soccer talk.
Thank you very much.
I agree. Thank you. Who else talked?
Kumail Nanjiani.
Thank you, Tumor Boy.
Tumor Boy.
Promote the X-Files podcast.
Absolutely,
again.
Absolutely, yeah.
X-Files Files on Feral. We talk about X-Files. Dan's done it. He's going to do it again. Listen to it.
Thank you very much, everybody. Spencer Crittenden. Kumail Nanjiani. I'm Jeff Davis. One more time for the mayor, Dan Harmon.